Welcome to week six, everybody. I'm just going to give you an opening talk about our lecture for this week and what we've got going on. To start with our lecture, I wanted to talk first about proper licensing. Dentists and auxiliaries, meaning dental assistants, hygienists, whoever is licensed within the dental practice, each of those different dentists and auxiliaries are expected by their peers and their patients alike to keep up their proper licensing. And licensing generally has a specific requirements each year for continuing education so that all of us in the dental field can keep up with the newest technology, the newest procedures, the newest materials, and keep up with our peers, which is what is expected by the Board of Dentistry. The dentist is specifically expected to keep up with the current changes in their field, and they are expected that the dentists who are around them, their peers in the field, in their community, they should also have the same skill level and the same abilities as their peers in their field, in their community. The one thing that we have found is that dentists, you know, by the patients and by sometimes their staff, are expected to be perfect, and this just can't happen. It's not possible for any one person to be perfect. So the legal system understands that. So when a patient has had work done and it didn't meet their expectations, you know, the legal system understands that best judgment is what is reasonable and perfection is not reasonable. So some dentists tend to be a lot quicker to put a crown on a tooth than another dentist who will try and restore the tooth to help the patient get through, you know, until they can afford a crown. And neither of those circumstances are necessarily wrong, but every dentist has their way of working. So if you go to one dentist and they say you need a crown and another says you need a filling, well, that's up to the dentist. And it's up to you as to who you want to go to have the work done. When a patient comes in to have treatment done, they are consenting to only have the treatment done that they have been told that they're coming in to have done, or they're only consenting to what they have come in for on that specific visit. And most patients will know if they're going to be having a filling, if they're going to have a root canal, if they're going to have a crown. So, you know, as dental professionals, we cannot change that without advising the patient otherwise. We are bound to stick with the plan unless we inform the patient and they consent to a different treatment than what they had planned on coming in for. So there are five requirements that make a consent valid. And one is that the consenter has to be legally competent. Either their age needs to be, they need to be old enough, they need to be over 18 years old. They have to be mentally competent. Can they make decisions for themselves, and can they make smart decisions for themselves? There's all kinds of issues that surround that, so please make sure and read your book. They must... The consent has to be informed. The patient has to be notified. They need to know what is being done with their teeth. They need to be informed and allowed to make that decision. In a lot of practices now, because of the Spanish-speaking population in our communities, if we don't have somebody who can interpret what we are trying to tell the patient, we cannot proceed with treatment without making sure that the patient understands fully what is going to be happening to them. And they may say, go ahead and do it and do it and do it, just to go ahead and get the treatment done. But legally, they can come back and say, you didn't tell me, or I couldn't understand. So it's really important to make sure that no matter what the language barriers are, that we are able to provide the information to the patient that they can make an informed consenting decision. The third part of an informed consent is that the consent is for a particular treatment or a series of treatments. So there may be, number 29, the tooth is grossly decayed, and the patient has a couple of options. They can either have the tooth extracted or removed, or they can have a root canal, a large buildup or filling, and then the tooth needs to be crowned. So when the patient consents or consenting for either the extraction or the entire treatment series of the root canal, the buildup, and the crown, that is all being consented as a treatment series by the patient as long as we have informed them first. If we decide to do something additional beyond that without informing the patient, that is not a consented treatment by the patient. So we need to be very careful that we stick within the treatment series that we have discussed with the patient in order to fall under the area of being consented and informed of the patient needed that the patient has been informed. The fourth thing in a consent is that the dental act or treatment has to be legal. Of course, we can't be doing things that are not legal in a patient's mouth. That's kind of a given. And it must not be obtained by fraud, deceit, or trickery. So we can't somehow trick the patient into doing something that they didn't need to have done, like crowns. Crowns are the number one money maker in a dental office and one of the biggest money makers for the dentist. We cannot tell a patient that they need a crown because their tooth is too grossly decayed to restore if that in fact is not true. So deceit, trickery, fraud, those things of course cannot fall under consent. PARQ is the acronym, or PARQ is also the way you can say it, is an acronym that stands for a series of things that we always talk to the patient about. And one is that the procedure, which is the P in PARQ. The patient is advised of the recommended treatment and will be taking place. We also discuss with the patient the alternatives, which is the A in PARQ. The patient is advised of alternatives or options for treatment. We don't tell them there's only one thing to do, because there's never just one thing to do. Either the patient has a filling or they do nothing. There's always the alternative of the patient doing absolutely nothing. Risks. The patient was advised of any risk from the recommended procedure or treatment options. There's usually nothing that we do to a tooth that is without risk. Just taking a handpiece, which a lot of people who aren't in dentistry would call a drill, by cutting into a tooth, we traumatize a tooth just simply by doing that, even though we're trying to restore it. The natural result is that the tooth is feeling traumatized. And because of a tooth feeling traumatized, it has the ability of dying afterwards. So there's always risk to any dental procedure, whether it actually puts the patient's life at risk or just the tooth at risk or whatever the risk is. But we have to tell the patient what those risks are so they can make informed, smart decisions. And then we also open the floor up for patients to ask questions. Do you have any questions about the procedure, Mrs. Smith? And we need to address each of those questions and allow the patient to feel like they are making their own decision based on what they have learned from you. So PARQ or PARQ is what we simply write in the chart. PARQ, we write it in the chart. And that means that all of those parts of the conversation have been covered. This means that we don't have to write every single bit of conversation that happened during a regular appointment. Whenever we do an extraction, we always go over with the patient the post-operative instructions, telling them how to take care of the extraction site. Don't go out and run a mile because you're going to start the bleeding again. Don't drink through a straw because you can suck the blood clot out of the socket, which is actually a natural bandage that protects the bone that the tooth was laying in. So we want to tell the patient all of those things, and we do it every single time. So, you know, it's kind of a wasted effort to write that every single time we see a patient and write it in their chart. So simply by writing PARQ, it means that, yes, we did the normal everyday things. We told the patient everything that we would normally tell a patient under these circumstances. So the things that we still need to write are the things that are not normal. Like, was there a difficulty during the procedure? Did the filling that we wanted to do accident? Did it drop into the canal of the tooth, into the nerve chamber of the tooth, and now we cannot go back and just do filling? Now we have to do a root canal. Was that discussed with the patient? We need to document the things that are not a normal part of an everyday procedure, because those are not covered under the PARQ or PARQ heading that we always write in a chart. Legally, dentists have been fined for not writing PARQ in their chart notes, and dental assistants do a lot of the chart notes in a lot of the dental offices. So you, as future dental assistants, need to be get used to writing PARQ in every one of your chart notes that you make. One other thing I wanted to talk to you that we're going to be looking at today is unrealistic expectations that sometimes patients will have. It is not uncommon that the patient will expect for you to restore their mouth to perfection, whether it was perfect to start with or not. They usually have an ideal in mind, and they expect if you are to show patients, you know, pictures of these perfect teeth and say, this is what a veneer looks like, or this is what a composite filling looks like, which is a white filling. If you show them that picture, then they expect that when you complete that same treatment on them, their mouth is going to look exactly the same way. And it simply cannot always be done, because we're working with individual patients who have individual tooth structures, which have individual facial structures, and everything comes together to create different pictures in different people. So despite patient or dentist's best efforts, there will always be patients who have a picture in their mind of what their teeth will look like when the dentist is done with the treatment, despite whether it's realistic or not. So it's really common for people who are getting dentures or new partial dentures to expect miracles or, you know, to expect to come back to, if they're in their 70s, they want to look like they're in their 50s again. They want to have youth restored, which is really what, you know, perfect teeth are all about. They look youthful. And, you know, it's really important to make sure that patients understand that what their expectations really should be. And we could talk until we're blue in the face and say, you know, we cannot achieve that, and the patient will still have a picture in their mind of what they think they're going to end up with, despite what you say. So it's really, really important to document conversations that you have with a patient. Make sure and document, you know, that we told the patient that while we can do dentures, you know, the, you know, if the patient wants her teeth to look like they used to be, that means that some of the teeth may be a little bit crooked in the denture, and that's what we want, because we want it to be maybe not so noticeable that the patient has dentures. We want it to look realistic. So as we set forth to do different procedures on patients, it's so important to make sure that we're all on the same page of what realistically can occur through the restorative work that we do. Okay, that's all I have to say about this week's lecture. I want to make sure that you review at the beginning of Chapter 4 on page 61 the different learning objectives that there are for this chapter, and make sure that you can tick each one of those off saying, yep, I got it, I did it, we're good, I understand where what that means. Also, at this point in the term, you should be halfway through your research project, having gotten at least half of the questions answered, or found out all the information you need about one state and still be researching the other state. So make sure you're not putting that off, because it is a time-intensive project. Okay? I hope you guys are having a great week. Happy midterm, or just past the midterm. We've passed midterm. We're on to week 6, and there's, you know, only 4 weeks left after this. Hurrah! Okay, bye.